I want to thank everyone tonight. Brian, good night. Bad as you this morning. For all the effort that went out this week and the meals and good fellowship, and it's always a blessing to come up here and be with you guys and chat and reminisce. And it seems like when we get together during the lunch hour, and old things always come up, and we always seem to say the same old stories, and they just keep getting better and better, I guess. It's some good stuff. But we want to thank you for what a blessing you guys have been with us and for us. And we've been in Toluca there for a few months, and we ask you to continue to pray for us while we're there trying to labor for the Lord's glory. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. You know, they've been some times that that I've gotten up here to preach, and right before I come up, Brother Lindell looks at me and says, "You better not bomb." That's all he has to say. Brian tried to do it this morning. Didn't quite have the same effect. Somehow coming from Brother Lindell, he just looks at you and says, "You better not bomb." Oh, good night. Maybe I'll change my message. Did he already look at my Bible? Oh, man. Maybe you need more gray hairs, brother. I don't know. Less hair. Less hair, yeah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." And you know, as I started thinking about this verse and started, meditating a little bit on what is said here, and the command, forgetting the things that are in the past. And, you know, I start thinking that, you know, lots of times I think it's a danger, and I think it's been said this week, it's a danger to look at all that, sometimes it's a danger to look at all the things that God has done for us in the past, and the churches he has started, and the churches that are doing well. And sometimes it's a danger and say, you know what, I've already obtained, I've already, you know, done my part, and it's a danger, you know, to look back on that. I think sometimes we need to forget those things, you know. It's a blessing to think on them. You know, it's a blessing to say, you know what, you know, God has moved. You know, God has moved in my life. I know God has saved me. I know God has given me this new life, this new aspiration, this new beginning. And it's great to look on that. But you know what? God wasn't done with me when he saved me, you know, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. You know, that's when it just started. You know, that abundant life that he gave me when he saved me. And, you know, it's so dear to think about those things, you know, how God used a man to come into my life and give me the gospel. You know, I think back on those times, and, you know, it's so dear to me. I think, you know, if it would have been somebody else, maybe I would have responded a little differently. Maybe I would have been, I don't know, not as responsive to the gospel if it was somebody else. I'm not too sure. That person way back then, I hardly even know him anymore, you know? I mean, God has done so much for me. But, you know, I think about that day when God saved me, and I think about that attitude I had, so rebellious, and boy, I'm just gonna take care of this guy. You know, he's talking to me about, you know, he wants to talk to me about the gospel, and I just wanna, you know, take care of him when he comes in, you know? And boy, I tell you what, when Uncle Dale came in that day, and I was sitting there in that little shop there, and sitting with Karen, and he'd already promised Karen, he said, "I'm not going to talk to him about the gospel. I just want to know. I just want to talk to him. That's all I want to do." You know, and he was true to that. It's amazing. It's amazing. But, he came in, and I said, and I, of course, I didn't know that. I thought, man, this guy's going to, I'm going to get him. You know, all I knew was the Tiltons of the world. You know, I'm going to get this guy. He comes in, and the first thing he does to me is gives me a big old hug. You talk about going down for the count. You know, I'm thinking, this guy, what is he doing? He doesn't know me from Adam. He's giving me a big old hug. Good night. And then he sits down at that table and we're talking, you know, and he's asking Karen, how you been doing, how your folks, this and that, and asking me, where you from and all this stuff. And it's going on and on and on, and not a word about the gospel. That burned me. I'm thinking, when is he going to open his mouth and say something about the Bible? When is he going to say something? And it got so bad that I finally said, hey, what do you think about this? And I started talking to him about the Bible. But he was true to his word. He wasn't going to talk to me about it. He wanted to get to know me. That was his thinking anyways. But that was pretty wise. I think if he would have showed up with both barrels, want to give me the gospel, maybe I would have reacted a little different. I start thinking about all those things, and I start thinking about all these good things and all these things. But you know what? God has so much more. I know that God, when he touched me, when he started to work in me that day, and it was the day before a mission conference was going to start. Brother Dale said, I want to invite you, tomorrow morning to church. I'm going to be speaking tomorrow morning. And I came and I went all week. And at the end of the week, I said, I need to get saved. You know what? Man, I'm missing something. Something's going on here, and you come in and I'm a person. I grew up, a Catholic. I grew up in a church and going to church. But you know what? The spirit I felt in this room was something that I never felt anywhere else. It was just incredible. And I know it's not always that way. I know we got problems. I know, lots of times we come in here and we get offended and somebody don't smile at you, whatever. But I'm talking about when we come in here and we have the right attitude, I'm telling you, it's a good place to be. Amen. Lots of times when we feel uncomfortable in this place, it's because our attitude is wrong. And I started thinking about forgetting those things that are behind me. It's a good thing that God saved me. It's a good thing that God called me here. It's a good thing that I've had an opportunity to start some churches and to be a part in this church. But you know what? Those things God has done and is doing. There's so much more that God is gonna do. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that God can do so much more with us, and God isn't done yet. I know, because we woke up this morning. We're still here. The minute God comes for his church, it's done. The minute you and I get to heaven, where is our goal? The minute we see our Lord face to face, that's when our race is going to be done. That's when we are going to attain the ultimate victory, right? Death will be swallowed up, right? I mean, they ain't going to be no more trying to live right for the Lord. Right now is our opportunity. Right now is when we take advantage of and do as much as we can and have victory over our sin, victory over our lives, and victory over this complacency many times. No, we've already done too much. No, forget all that. You haven't done enough. I appreciate that message last night about being debtors. That was good. That was real good. I was very pleased that there's so many young people here last night. That was good. I hope they take that to heart. As I was thinking about this also, I pressed toward the mark in verse 14 for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. This high calling that we're called. We are called to a noble and great work. I mean, to be called to something so great we're never going to lose our recompense. Never. I mean, what a blessing it is that whatever we do for the Lord, whatever we lose for the Lord, it will not go unnoticed. I think it's such a blessing that we're called to this high calling. And then verse 15, Philippians 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I think
I think we need to be like-minded, thus-minded, in a few things. And I just wrote down some things that I think as a church, I think as a body, as a work, we all need to have the same mind in these things that I'm going to point out. Second Corinthians chapter 9. And in verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." You know, I think we need to have confidence that God is able to make us abound in everything and to never lack anything. You know, lots of times our train of thinking is, you know, if I give this up, you know, if I give more, if I give time, I'm going to have less for me. Well, you know, yeah, you probably will, you know, but you're not going to have less with God. You know, I think God, I look at it. I have a daughter, and you know, when she does right, when she obeys, when she follows the rules, it's kind of hard when she hangs around with Michael's kids, but but when they're not around, you know, it makes me want to do a lot more for her.
Right.
You know, it just does. You know, it makes me want to do things that she doesn't even ask. You know, when I see that she's doing well, when I see that she's trying her best, when I see that she wants to please me, it just makes me come in there and just say, "You want to go to McDonald's?" You know, and I mean, it just makes me want to do stuff for her. She's going to ask me right now, I'm sure, afterwards. "We going to McDonald's?" But you know what? I believe God is even much better than that.
Right.
You know? I don't believe there's anything that we can give up, anything that we can give to God, that we're not going to get back a whole lot more. And if it's not in this life, like Michael pointed out, the better. As God is a repayer. You know? Also, I think we need to be thus-minded in that. I think we not be a people that get irritated when we're asked to do more or to complain when we're asked to do our responsibility. You know, God saved us in this church, and we have a responsibility to the work in this church. Look also in Acts chapter 20. I think we also need to be thus-minded in this area too. We need to have the same mind, the same focus. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." You know, I think we need to be like-minded in this area, that we don't have a gospel that's dead. We have a gospel that actually builds people up. We have a gospel that actually changes lives. It's just amazing to me, and I know there is, you know, with the same amount of stories that we can tell you about people's lives being changed, we can also give you the other side of the coin and how people are just messed up. But you know what? I know God has saved some people. You know? I know that God, in the Word, God says that He even allows hypocrisy in the church. Allows hypocrisy in the church? The Bible says to prove those that are really His. You know, the Lord allows just different things, and if you don't believe me, it's in 1 Corinthians 11. Okay, well, we'll go there. All right. It better be there. I hope it's there. Oh man, wait a minute. I know it's there. Hold on. Thank you. There it is. All right. I knew it was there in my Spanish Bible. Look at this. It says, 11:19 says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Heresies among us. You know, God is doing a great work, and I know this gospel does change. I know this gospel does build us up, and I know this gospel commands us to be godly, to walk as Christ, to live a godly life and a godly testimony. These things are worth doing. This gospel that we have isn't dead. It might be dead to a lot of people, but it isn't dead to me. I know exactly where God pulled me out of. And, you know, like I said, I vaguely remember that guy, but every now and again, I think about where I was and I think about where I could have been, you know, and I thank God even more. But you know what? The minute I start thinking about those things, I say, you know what? This isn't it. God doesn't just have this up to this point and say, you know what? That's it. That's it for you. I want to keep going. Forget those things. They're great to remember to give us an extra boost or whatever it is. But you know what? God isn't done. The minute you think God is done with us and God is done with you, man, you're going to be pretty much miserable. Something else. Romans chapter 4. I'm convinced that God isn't done with me. I think he still wants me to do more. When he be thus minded, verse 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, it says over there in Philippians that God is going to perfect us unto his return, right? He ain't going to give up. You know, if I got problems, he's going to see me through them. He's going to make me, more useful. And I think that we need to be thus minded in the fact that he is able to perform everything that he says in this word. And you know, the minute we start forgetting that, we're going to have problems. Another thing, look at Romans 15:14. It says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. You know what? We need to be persuaded. We need to be fully convinced. We need to be in agreement in this room that when the preacher, when your brother next to you, when your peer in Christ tells you something, rebukes you, gives you something that's sound, that is for your own good. We really need to be convinced of this. I know, you know, sometimes, you know, there's just no easy way to get around it sometimes. You know, you see a young man and you see, you know, some stupid thing they're doing, and there's just no easy way to tell them, you know, you need to make better decisions. You know, you need to get some new clothes. You know, you need to take those earrings out of your face. You know, and they get offended, you know, well, you know, you don't know, or I don't know what they come up with. I came with the same stupid things, you know, but I mean, come on, who are you looking up to? You know, I saw this guy just the other day driving on the road, nice car, convertible, and he had his cap half cocked, you know, and earrings galore, just things. And he's riding in his car like this, you know. And he's driving down the road, and I just started laughing. I'm thinking, what a nut. You know, does he really think, you know, that he looks good? I just don't understand it, you know. Or it even hurts me sometimes to go to the mall and, you know, see these guys and the way they walk. You know, they just think they're just so cool, you know. It just hurts me. I'm thinking, straighten up, please. You know, why must you walk that way? I just don't understand it. But you know, sometimes we come in here and we preach, you know what, you need to dress a little bit better. You need to start walking a little bit better. You need to start making better decisions on who you hang out with.
Right.
You know? And we say these things, and immediately this wall goes up and you just don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. I don't. I probably did 15 years ago, you know? But now I understand that I didn't understand.
Right.
If you understand that. You know, I think that we need to be able to admonish the brethren. We need to be able to instruct you, and you need to be able to receive the instruction that is taught in here. And don't take it so personal and think that we think that you are, you know, whatever. You're not. But you need to get on board. You know, you need to get on the good road. You know, and if that means that you're going to suffer a little bit for Christ, that's what the Bible says. We are going to suffer a little bit for Christ, you know. And if you say, well, you know what, if I don't dress this way, or if I don't act this way, or if I don't talk this way, then I'm not going to have any friends. Well, you know, I got lots of friends, you know. And the friends I got now are all new friends, you know. They're in the Lord. And I do have some lost friends. But you know what? I just don't really get along too well, too long with my lost friends. You know, it's going to end up bad one way or another. You know, I just, the people that I try to hang out with, the people that I try to associate myself with, are the people that I know and love are going to tell me you're wrong. Are going to tell me, you know what, you need to set your aim just a little bit higher. You know, we need to do just a little bit more. And I think in a church, in God's work, we need to be thus minded. We need to be prepared to hear rebuke, hear admonishment, hear these things and receive it and just do it. I think another thing that we need to be thus minded, look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You know, it's just amazing to me what that verse says to me. I ask God to help us start a work, but he's able to start a great work. You know, sometimes I think I shoot myself short when I ask God for some things, you know. I know he's able to do much more than I even ask. And what a blessing. I think that God, we need to be like-minded in this, that whatever we ask, whatever we want to attain our sights on for the gospel's sake, God is able to do it and that much more. Amen. You know, we've had lots of victories already in this work, in this church. I mean, Poland is starting to do better, you know. They actually have people that Joey said that they've actually baptized people that he don't even know. That's great, man. Amen. That is great. I mean, these are real breakthroughs. These are real promises that we're seeing. When they first got up there, and how long did they go without nobody? And man, I know it's hard. It's hard. You know, Karen was talking about sometimes, you know, we meet there and it just so happens that we're alone. You know, Roland and Angie are in the States or something, you know, and it's just us. And man, you know, preaching and trying to encourage my daughter and then you know, encourage my wife and then, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, it's just, and we're trying to make the meeting go 2 hours, you know? I mean, we're just, okay, let's sing another song. Let's do something, you know? I mean, and it's hard. It's tough. But you know what? We ask God to save people. And then they start saving people. And then we start saying, well, man, this work is too hard now. You know? We have to go mess with people. And we have to go talk to them. And we have to go encourage them. Man, it's part of the work. God is able to build a church, build us up to do even more. Another thing, Second Timothy chapter 1. Did I say second? Yeah. I sure did. Chapter 1, verse 12. It says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, I think we need to be like-minded in the fact that and persuaded that God has done a great work. That God is able to keep, God is able to keep us on the field. God is able to keep this church, and do more. I think we need to be thus minded in all the great things that God is able to do through us. And one more thing, Luke chapter 5. Even with all the problems that we see in the church, and we know there's lots of problems, right? The reason why there's lots of problems is because we're a bunch of sinners. That's the reason why we got lots of problems, you know? We got different attitudes, we got different personalities, we got different whatever, and there's a problem. But you know what? Even though there's a problem, and even though I know that there's not a perfect church anywhere in this world, I know that. I think the church is still alive and well, and is doing exactly what God wants it to do. I know that, but there's nothing wrong with the church. God has given us a great work. There's nothing wrong with his work. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's nothing wrong with the way God saves. There's nothing wrong with the work that he does in each one of us. There's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes we make a mess of it, but there's nothing wrong with God's work. Luke chapter 5. I want to read a few things and just point out some things that I thought was a blessing out of this. It says, and it came to pass, verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood in the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know what? When I started looking at this, I started looking, you know, and it was brought out in the meeting, some points of another message, about why they were washing their nets or whatever. And, you know, I started thinking about, washing their nets. They weren't mending the nets. They were just washing them. You know, when I start thinking about that, and the Bible says, and Jesus says a parable about how that's going to be at the end times, right? That, Jesus says that the angels are going to cast the net, you know, and bring in all the fish. You know, I think the net, when I start thinking about this, it's the gospel, you know, and there ain't nothing wrong with the gospel. All they were doing was washing the nets. You know, there wasn't nothing. They didn't have to mend them. They didn't have to take care of them. It's not my responsibility. It's not your responsibility to make the gospel better,
right,
or sweeter or whatever it is. You know what our responsibility is? To preach the gospel.
Right.
And wherever the cards fall, they fall. I don't want to preach, or I don't want to ever get to the point where I have to stand out there and say, "Let me modify my preaching so I won't go to jail. Let me modify my preaching so I won't lose my support. Let me modify my preaching so I can get the favor of the congregation." I don't want that. And we ought to be thankful we have pastors that don't think that way. They preach the word. And sometimes it hits us right between the eyes, and sometimes we get a little irritated. But we need to be thus minded. They're doing it for us. You know, this word isn't dead. The gospel that we have isn't a dead letter. It is alive. You know, and I started thinking about also these guys, the command that Jesus says, you know, launch out. After he finishes preaching, go out. Go out a little ways, you know, and drop down your nets. You know, we've also commanded. These guys have been working, you know, probably all day, you know, tired. Man, they're just cleaning up. You know, it's like when Karen cleans a house and I come in from preaching and the floor is just mopped, you know, and she's done. And then I get there and boom, hurricane, you know, things left are, you know, different. I'm looking for stuff. I'm working on something or, you know, whatever. And what's going on? I just cleaned the house. I don't want to do it all over again. Well, you know what? These guys get there and they're cleaning the nets. They're just about done. And what does Jesus say? Go out. And what does he say? Let down your nets. And you know what? They could have just said, "Man, we're tired. We're just tired. We don't want to do that." But you know, they didn't. They obeyed. Well, you know, some of us in here are tired. Some of us are saying, "I'm just tired of giving. I'm tired of showing up. I'm tired of going to the meetings. I'm tired of hearing the same old thing." Well, you know what? You just got to keep doing it. What else are you going to do? What else is worth doing, I guess I should say? There's nothing else worth doing. There's nobody else worth giving your life to. There's nobody else worth giving your time, your money, your whole life. There's nobody worth. Not in this world. And I started thinking one more thing I want to point out, or a couple more things, I guess. When they let down their net and they had all that fish, they had all that big old catch, and they called for some help. You know, those guys were willing and ready to come and help them. You know what we got in this room? We got some able men. We got some good men. You know, if you right now say, "I just ain't doing nothing and I don't know how to do anything," you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You know, I don't think there's ever been one single time when I was here that I asked Brother Brian for something and he said no. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about going visiting with them, going Bible study. I mean, I remember when Alyssa was born and she had so many problems. You know, she has problems now. But I'm saying at that time, we're out in Helotes early in the morning. Brother Brian had this chocolate coffee goop. I don't know what it was, and keeping him awake. This baby had tubes coming out of her. I mean, and he had Alyssa in one arm and the bottle and the Bible in the other. And we're there studying the word at 5 o'clock in the morning because that's when he had time. There's no excuse. You don't know how to do something? ask. Right. Just ask. Why don't you get involved? Yeah. You don't know the sacrifices some people have to make or had to make for us to be all we can be in Christ. There's been a lot of sacrifices. We got able bodies in here. You know, I know Brother Lindell says he's old and this and that. Make him useful. Oh man. It's good being up here. One last thing I want to point out, the compensation. Man, what a great reward they had. All that. Can you imagine working all day or whatever they had to work, not catch a thing? And then Jesus says, right out there. Just throw it right out there. And the net's so full. Good grief. You know? I'm telling you, we have a compensation. Maybe we haven't seen that much of it right now. Or maybe we're not going to see that much of it right now. You know, Joey talked about a person that called him up over there from Poland. You know? Never going to see that person again. But because of their preaching, because he was out there standing out there saying something, it spurred something in her. She went back, got Bible studies from her little town. She's saved. You know, I mean, I would love for them to get saved in our church. You know, I would love for them to come and meet with us and help us out. But you know what? It doesn't always work out that way. But the compensation is I don't think we can count it. I really don't. Everything that we've given for the gospel's sake, that we've done for God, maybe we're not going to see here. And maybe we shouldn't see here. But you know what? It hasn't gone forgotten. We need to be thus minded in this last point, that the gospel, the work of this gospel, this high calling that we're called for, is all of our job. Amen?